If you do not speak English, I am at your disposal with 187 other languages along with their various dialects and sub-tongues.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. It's September the 17th.
Okay. And this is our opening of Chopsticks cast. As you see, we make the official noises of opening of Chopsticks wrappers.
Use Mark Brenner's words. Yeah. That's bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Oh. Well, is it the shit cast where we sit in the bathroom and...
Neither is it. Shitcast will work. Buttcast.com.
I forget whether that'll work or not.
I own that,
but I forget what I pointed it to.
All right.
But Shitcast will work. But it is Slurpcast where we slurp our food.
That's rice.
And we have soup, but they didn't give us bowls, and the soup is shrinking.
It is literally shrinking. They brought the soup here to the table, put it down, and it was like at the top.
Yeah.
And now it's like less than half of the bowl. What is it? Just egg?
Maybe there's invisible bees. Maybe there's invisible bees. Maybe we're supposed to do that. Yeah, we're trying to figure out if they deliberately didn't give us bowls for it because we're supposed to do something else. But I think they just forgot to give us bowls.
It's like put the rice. You ever microwave eggs, scramble them up, microwave them, put them in the microwave, and then they come out like...
Probably.
Like, they're kind of like, they bubble up a little bit. That's kind of...
Probably.
So my license expired.
Your driver's license?
Yeah, my driver's license expired because... Okay. Just because
you're getting old.
Right. Because
Yeah.
And I went in to renew my driver's license. Right. And I guess this is the second time it's expired because everybody believes whenever your license expires, you just go in, get another picture taken, and they give you a new one. But that's not true.
Okay.
Sometimes they decide randomly, I think, I'm not sure how they do it, that you need to take the written exam again.
Okay.
Which they did, and I was thoroughly surprised by that. I was not ready. I had not prepared.
Okay.
So I went in to take the exam, and I got, Mark, I got four wrong when three is the max to renew.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
They just should have just told them, you're close, you know.
Well, the lady behind the desk.
Start crying.
Well,
say you'll tell your mother.
It was clear that I was renewing, and yet the lady...
You're forgetting all your habits from school. You know, you could do all that in school, couldn't you? And
you used to cheat.
Yeah.
You used to stick a headphone... your Walkman into your hand through your sleeve, your jacket sleeve, wear your jacket while you're taking your test.
Well, nowadays you just set up your hand. Nowadays you just text message your friend across the room.
Oh, okay. That works.
Yeah. Anyway, so you have to take it again? Or
yeah, I got to take it again. They extended my license a little bit, but...
Okay. So where are we? We're Korean Barbecue Plus.
Yeah.
In Concord, California. We never figured out what the plus was. It seems like other Korean barbecue restaurants.
Yeah. We got a soup.
And this is slurpcast.com. Go there to see show notes and URLs. We talk about the stuff. And he's Wes. And I'm the world-famous Mark Burnett. I can't tell you why I'm famous.
And here's your garlic.
And here's my garlic and pepper. Yeah.
All right.
So
you're just doing the intro for me.
Right. So, do you have any items? What we do is we talk about technology while we eat dinner and stuff.
Yeah, we both Mark and I have an interest, personal interest in older technology.
Right.
And although I'm not doing it as much as we used to, I try to find old technology that relates somehow to brand new fads that are going on. Because a lot of times new technology is just somebody doing something that was tried before in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Mark and I have been, we're old.
We've been in the industry for a long time.
And we used to walk up through the snow, uphill, 5 miles to school, and uphill back home again also.
We knew how to do that.
No, we understood how to do that. You kids would say have forgotten the skill of how to walk uphill both directions.
Can it be done in Second Life?
I don't know. Yeah, Wes was saying, someone was tweeting that how come schools don't integrate Second Life. And that sounded like kind of a stupid idea. I didn't even read the article he was pointing to. It just sounded like a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. But I tweeted back to him that kids need the discipline of walking uphill through the snow both ways to school.
Right.
And how are you going to do that in Second Life? You know.
And then
I tweeted a second one saying, On the other hand, in Second Life, you can walk uphill both directions in the snow and not having to figure out how the hell that actually works and physics and stuff.
I don't think that's going to actually work. Because I think they do have height in some
Second
way.
Life, yeah.
Yeah, in Second Life.
Okay. Anyway.
Can you defy the laws of physics in Second Life?
I never used it. I have no idea.
Okay.
Jerry the Russian was playing with it for a long time. I'm not sure if he still is.
Somebody that I know knows another person who actually is a pimp or some kind of prostitute and actually makes real money.
In Second Life?
Like cash, real cash, yeah.
But how does that work? Why? What do people pay him or her to do?
Well, he's a he, mm-hmm. but a her in Second Life.
I see. Okay.
And I guess... Mm.
But he's a pimp in Second Life?
Yes.
Or he, okay.
Yeah.
But how does he make money? By arranging
by doing
things in real
things
life?
In Second Life. No, not in real life.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Why would people pay for that in Second Life?
Why would people pay play war? Why would people pay for weapons in Warcraft? And
yeah, that's true.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I don't know.
And once again, Mark, we're sitting underneath the air conditioning unit, and the air conditioning is going straight down on the
food. Okay. Okay.
So let's go to stories.
Yeah.
Let's go to stories.
I don't really have anything that recent. Well, I guess I do. There's Google has and Bing both mm-hmm. have new features in their labs.
Uh-huh.
Google has one called Fast Flip. Go to fastflip.googlelabs.com and they choose a category and it shows you a bunch of thumbnails, fairly large thumbnails,
uh-huh.
Different articles in that category. There are different blog entries or newspaper covers or whatever. And then you click on one of them and it'll expand enough that you can read it, then you can kind of flip to the next one. You start flipping through them and stuff. Actually, I think I'm wrong. I think it comes up as one page at a time. You just immediately start flipping and stuff. When they it'll work on iPhones and on desktop browsers.
Huh.
And stuff.
Okay.
So it's just kind of instead of RSS feeds or something, this lets you see the whole thing on your screen, and you can flip around until you find something you like, and then zoom in on it or whatever.
There's a plugin that's like that for Firefox.
Okay.
That when you mouse over a link, a box shows up showing you the contents of that page.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually pretty cool. I don't have it in my
Well, well enough you can read the words of the headline at least. Okay.
Yeah, it's actually, and I think it has options. You can expand the window. You can specify how big it should be, stuff like that. But speaking of iPhones,
mm-hmm.
The people who have upgraded to the latest version of the firmware, the OS 3.1 and 3.11,
mm-hmm.
are now complaining about things that Apple should have caught.
Like real buggy things? Or?
Yeah, real buggy things. Apparently, there's horrible battery life,
yeah.
random shutdowns, and some screen freezing going on.
Are you sure it's not just people, the average number of people noticing that in some situation, or what they're blaming on 3.1 or something?
No, but everybody's sort of saying this has happened because of the 3.1 upgrade. Now, I also don't know if it's touches or if it's iPhones only.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not allowed to go to 3.1 yet.
Okay. Because you're one of those subculture...
Yeah. I'm one of the jailbreak people.
Right.
And the jailbreak is not yet out for 3.1 for the 3GS. It is for the older iPhone, including the 3G.
Uh-huh.
There is a 3.1 jailbreak, but not for 3GS yet, but they claim they will. Shortly.
Huh. Okay.
And I've kind of been burned before by jailbreak stuff the first day.
But you think they're going to
So even when they do it, I'm going to wait a several days to see what kind of problems are.
You think they're going to come out with that? Or?
Yeah, they're promising they can do it. Yeah, they say they can do it.
Yeah.
The problem is the 3GS has the hardware encryption,
right.
all kinds of stuff going on. So that makes it complicated.
But there's talk of them being able to get around that?
Yeah. Yeah, they're running their own encryption server now where you change your DNS. So that the Apple update service. I forget the URL they tell you to redirect. But they have you redirect it in your hosts file over to one that they run.
Nice.
And they intercept all the encryption calls and kind of fake it so it'll let you put in installed jailbreak stuff. Hmm. But they don't quite have that working yet.
Is there anything they're going to be able to go backwards?
Yeah, they're working on that.
So if you have like already installed OS 3.1.1?
Yes. Yeah, they're working on that.
Okay.
And I think they already have that working. I forget. I think they may already have that working. Cool. If. But it's up to you. You had to have saved off your IPSW file from before, from 3.0. Because those are customized to your particular machine, your particular encryption keys.
Okay.
So if you don't have that, then you can't necessarily do it. But otherwise, you can. But it will ruin SIM unlocks because it's only 3.1 non-jailbreaked updates the baseband, which is like the modem firmware, and you cannot go backwards on that unless you have a 3G with a certain type of bootloader. But that's not important now.
Okay.
But anyway, so for 3GS, they're sure they can do it, but they haven't done it yet. And I'm going to wait for several days after that because they have errors sometimes in the first day of jailbreak. Anyway, that's why I don't have 3.1 problems because I can't do it.
Okay. I have a quick story. You know how I've been involved in music, and as a kid I was involved in instruments and digital sampling and things like that.
Right.
Doing drum programming. Mm-hmm. Well, Pioneer had this thing that they created called the CDJ, and that was one of the first realistic scratching CD devices.
Okay.
They now have this new model, which is the, let's see here, the new CDJ 2000 DJ deck. I bought an 800, CDJ 800, mm-hmm. which was the low end, but it allowed you to throw in Redbook audio CD and scratch with that, not a data CD.
Okay.
Their new model, which there'll be a link to this in the show notes for anybody who's really interested in this sort of technology. Their new model includes a screen, a 480 by 234 LCD that allows you to see the waveform that you've sampled.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to use CDs. You can now use secure digital cards.
Okay.
There's a USB, so you can actually literally take stuff off of a PC's formatted hard drive or a Mac's formatted hard drive. They also have editing software that they're now including. There's also what they're calling a needle pad touch strip, which allows you to, let's say you load an MP3 file from an SD card into this device and you want to scratch with a particular part of the song, you drag your finger along the needle strip, and that literally becomes the length of the file. So if you kind of know that the place you want to start scratching is in the middle, you then move your finger from the left to the right across this pad strip, and then you can hear the audio play back as you're going through the strip, as you're going through the song. So anyway, so this thing is looking at this. The price tag for the high end with the LCD is $2,150. Yeah. Mine was $600, the 800 model, which is still very good to this day. If you got two of those guys, you're basically set. You're not going to be skipping at all. The lowest one without the LCD model, same device, the CJ 2000. The low end one is $1,600, so $1,600.
Okay. Does it really sound that much better than your cheap one? Do you think?
Probably not that much.
Yeah,
but it was. There was no delay, so you could literally go back and forth, and it was immediate, which is great.
Okay. But let's relate this to ancient technology. Can you think of something 200 or 300 years ago that was somehow in any way, shape, or form like this?
Well, what I was getting to that I didn't cover really well is that as a kid, I envisioned, knowing a little bit about digital sampling, that this was something that was possible.
Right.
Although at the time, you really needed very, very fast processors to actually be able to analyze, sample, and play back the digital data at a fast enough rate to be able to to emulate moving vinyl back and forth against a needle.
Okay.
And some experiments came out. Roland introduced some kind of a sampling keyboard that had a turntable on it. I'll find out what the model number of that is.
Yeah.
It failed miserably, and I actually had a chance to play with it. It wasn't fast enough to keep up with a professional scratcher, professional DJ's hands going back and forth.
Okay.
And it would skip, and it would kind of emulate the woo woo woo.
Not the details of it.
No. And there were certain moves that common but good DJs would go through that particular Roland model failed. Hmm. And many companies tried to do something and didn't try to do this, make a digital CD scratching device. Denon, I know a lot of people will say Denon came out with something that was reasonable. And they've had some devices that allow you to scratch CDs pretty well. But
okay. But I'm saying, how could we relate this to something 200 years ago? Mechanical music machines, you know, were available. They made things, like hundreds of years ago, they made these clocks that would play music mechanically and stuff like that.
Right.
So what if you took one of those clocks and kind of decoupled the turning mechanism, whatever it is, and turned the gears back and forth or something? Well, you could probably make something like that.
I can relate this. Yeah. Scratching was something that was discovered by a DJ.
Actually, probably discovered a million years ago by some monkey out in a tree when an insect bit him, you know.
There's controversy as to who discovered it, but it basically came out of the idea behind queuing up vinyl discs one after the other.
Okay.
And they say that, you know, DJs would queue up, get the record ready to go, and then, you know, basically beat match. That was sort of an experiment. But somebody decided to actually, like, when they're queuing up a record, move it back and forth. And you would do this normally to get to the beginning
probably
of the song.
Probably just made a mistake.
Right.
And had something that the going out over the loudspeakers wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
It was supposed to be privately in their earphones, right? Okay.
But for whatever reason, it sounded really good, so.
And the modern people said, when I was your age, we would cue those records perfectly, and we would never, ever make a mistake and let the sound of that go out in the audience.
What I'm getting at is technology used in a different purpose for something completely different. There's all kinds of examples out there of people taking technology and using that for a completely different purpose.
Right. Right. And the parents would also yell, be careful with that record, you're breaking the needle. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, is everything
okay? Oh, good. Yeah, so very good.
Please, more.
More tea?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And the air conditioning unit.
And should we ask them what we're supposed to do with the soup?
Right. And why did
I'm just using it. I'm just pouring in lighted rice and eating it.
I'm just using it as a temporary garbage can.
Yeah, no, I'm eating it.
Anyway.
Pickles.
Seaweed, yummy. So I just, you know, that's kind of an interest to me for all those musicians out there who might be interested.
Okay.
Certainly not going to spend $2,000 on this thing, but...
No, I know. But a professional might, you know, if you actually do that for a living, you
might certainly have to be able to see the actual waveform of the song.
Yeah.
If you work with audio enough, you'll get used to how a song sounds looking at the visual waveform.
Okay.
You'd be able to spot certain places within the song.
Oh, where you...
Like the breakdown, you could see that it's like probably has more detail or more peaks and troughs in the waveform.
Okay.
So you'd see that, and this will display that. Can you turn the air conditioning down? Maybe?
It's very freezing.
Cool.
Oh, yes, yeah,
sorry.
Thank
you. Good. Only for while we're here. We'll leave it fine.
Yeah, just this part is directly the air conditioning.
Yeah, I
gotta turn it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If they can.
Oh, he can.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Should you see the VMA Awards, Mark? I don't know if that's something.
No, I know the whole story about the controversy of it.
But go ahead. You probably know it better than I do.
Well, there's this jackass named Kanye West.
No.
What's his last name?
It's Kanye.
Kanye West.
Right.
Yeah, and he's a jackass, according to the President of the United States.
Really?
So, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
There's nothing wrong. Why shouldn't he? There's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, he was caught. Everyone was complaining. He was doing a live TV show with an audience.
Yeah.
And before they really started going on the air, they asked him what they thought of the Kanye West thing. They said, oh, Kanye is just trying to get publicity. He's a jackass. And then he says, That was off the record, wasn't it, guys? Come on, guys, you know. So, anyway, so someone tweeted that.
Okay.
Just someone on the staff tweeted it. Uh-huh. And that guy got in trouble. I really don't understand the story. That guy got in trouble because what the president says off the record shouldn't be made public like that. But there was a live audience, and the president said it first and then said to go off the record.
All right.
So, anyway, and what's wrong with it anyway? He's right. What's the problem?
Yeah.
So... anyway, but there's also a lot of parodies.
Everybody thinks he's an asshole anyway.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of parodies of it and stuff like that. I guess we can point to the original.
Everybody's got a video, like YouTube video, like talking about it.
But parodying it for other situations. You know?
Right, but nobody's really like showing it or...
oh, it's around. Yeah, you can see the real thing. Yeah,
true
thing.
All right.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so... somebody has taken it to the extreme. This is really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Created a website called KanyeLicious.us.
Okay.
That's got one purpose, and that is to make Kanye West insult your own website.
Huh. That's funny.
So yeah. I haven't checked this out, but I think it's going to be hilarious. According to this article, you want to go to http://KanyeLicious.
If you tell them that now... they won't go to slurpcast.com to see it in print and link to it.
Okay. All right. Well, you're right, Mark. We'll put this up on the show notes, and you can link to it, including instructions on how this works. Anyway, this is kind of funny. That whole thing with him is... people are saying
it's
he
good
was
publicity.
Drinking,
but no,
he was
but it's
drunk.
Good publicity for him, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's good publicity, because I think it makes him look like an asshole.
But is that good or bad for
his... good.
Eventual record shows and stuff. Yeah.
It could be good. It's just that it seems really rude, and the way he did it, if he failed.
Right. No, he didn't necessarily fail. You have to see if the record sales go up or down. That's what counts. Does he now get movies, things he wouldn't have had before?
I think there's controversy that doesn't make you look like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it does, it could still be popular.
Right.
But in this case, everybody thinks that was a stupid move. And in some way, I think it's not going to be a positive for him. Other than people who didn't know about him before will probably know about him now.
Right. Because I didn't. Not that I care. I still don't care. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I'd heard the name before, but I didn't really know that.
Because I'm an old man. Yeah.
Right. I only like music that has banjos and stuff. So.
We know that.
Yeah.
We all know that.
I know.
You said that last time.
Yeah. That's because you subjected me to this band that had no banjo.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, because you subjected me to somebody who did nothing but play banjo.
Oh, did I? When was that?
That was, what's his name? Baby Gramps.
Oh, yeah. No, he plays guitar more than banjo.
Oh, really?
Well, did I make you go to a live? I forget.
No.
Oh, okay.
You showed me, like,
I have seen him live a couple of times.
But, like, he never aged. Like, over the years, as a kid, he looked the same way. He looked like an old man.
Right. Yeah, Baby Gramps is great.
Yeah.
But for some reason, most people don't like it. I don't know why.
Yeah. So what's the largest size smart media card that you've seen? And when I say smart media, I mean like all the different four.
For a camera? Oh.
Yeah, no, just anything.
Oh, at least 64 gigs. Well, you don't mean the hard drives, though, because virtual electronic hard drives can get very big.
No, I don't.
But you're talking about just a plug-in, a compact flash card or something like that. Maybe 64 gigabytes, I forget. Okay. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there's a 90 megabytes per second.
Okay.
UDMA 6 SanDisk compact flash that's 64 gigs.
Okay.
So it ain't the quickest, but it's like a massively large compact flash. And it goes from anywhere from 130 to 375.
It's only
That's
money.
That's the whole price range.
It's only money.
So I'll put a link there in the show notes to this. It's an interesting article to look at the different compact flash cards that are out there.
Okay.
Most people who use compact flash, almost everything is secure digital nowadays.
Those get pretty big too, though.
What's that?
Those get like 32 gig at least.
Really? Yeah. I don't know about 32. What about micro? Micro is also pretty
Micro's
popular.
Gotten bigger than you would think, but it's smaller than that probably. But
right.
It's gotten pretty big. Anyway, if you were looking that up, the last article, that's your new iPod Touch. You bought one? The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Good transition.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the suckers who actually went to the iPod 3G.
Okay.
third generation.
Right.
And we talked about this in the last show, about the different types of...
But you wanted to, but now you actually have it.
Yeah. Right. I went ahead and upgraded. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. One of the things that is interesting is we were all expecting certain features and things to be built into this next generation iPod.
Right.
Turns out we were sadly disappointed. We didn't get the camera. Right. We didn't get the compass. We didn't get the microphone that we thought we were going to get in the third generation iPod Touch.
But you didn't pre-order anything. You bought it after you already knew all that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay.
And I did it for reasons that I think are just important for people in general, which is the faster CPU and the different graphics chip.
Okay.
What I've since discovered, though, is that there's a different Broadcom wireless chip inside these models, inside the third generation. It's the BCN4329 chip. I'm sure you're familiar with it.
4329er?
Yeah.
I know that one, of course.
It's supposed to support 802.11n, which currently the third generation does not. I mean, it's just basically, I guess it's a software thing. They're going to be able to possibly make it support N through a firmware update.
Okay.
And the other controversial discussion is that, what's the site? Some site, Engadget actually did this. They did a teardown of the third generation, and they found inside there's a slot where the camera was supposed to be.
And they know that because they have secret pictures of a prototype.
Well, no one
was ever sure it was legitimate.
That was released, but the fact that the third generation teardown shows that the motherboard and all the pieces inside match that prototype perfectly.
Because a prototype could have been counterfeit for all they knew at the time.
Right. But so we didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it turns out that everything matches, so they're pretty sure that was a mistake on Apple's part. Probably pulled it at the last minute.
Right.
Now, you talked about that interview with David Pogue. David Pogue basically asked him that question about, what was going on with the camera. And Steve said, we don't need to add any new stuff.
It's just the gaming machine.
Yeah, it's just a gaming machine.
Yeah.
Which we all think is bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I think they did actually try to go ahead and do it. But Pogue, moved on.
Right.
He didn't counter anything.
Yeah.
And our friends at Twit were saying the reason why he didn't counter is because he knew that Steve would probably just get up and walk away.
That's unlikely. Steve would come up with... He would.
It's pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
During interviews.
Does he actually walk away?
Yeah, Puffy will get up and just walk away.
But has Steve?
I bet Steve, yes, I believe he has. I mean, that was what they were talking about.
Huh.
He strikes me as somebody, if you piss him off, he'll just leave. And, David Pogue is the love child.
Yeah.
Apple. He's always written positive things about Apple.
He defends himself, by the way, and says he writes positive and negative about Microsoft and Apple both.
Well, in my opinion, he comments and interviews and talks negatively, but in his books, he writes positively.
Right. But he writes books for both platforms.
Right.
So he's equal. He's equal on both platforms.
He's two-faced.
He claims. Yeah.
He'll talk shit behind the scenes, but when it comes to writing a book where he's getting paid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a controversy over him. Actually, does he have a conflict of interest?
Because of New York.
Because he reviews these products, and he also writes manuals, writes e-books about them.
Mm-hmm.
And if he reviews the product positively and more people buy it, he might sell more of the e-books.
Mm-hmm.
There's a controversy over that. So he claims that they're totally separate, and he likes both platforms, dislikes both platforms. He's completely open about the reviews. They have nothing to do with trying to sell more e-books and stuff.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Have you read stuff from him?
I read him on Twitter. He's very funny. He's very good on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a showman.
Yeah.
I've seen him at conferences and stuff. Not live, but on TV and on webcasts, stuff like that. He is pretty funny. He sings and plays piano.
Really? He has a billion Twitter followers. They can ask a question, and they'll answer immediately. And so if people don't know what Twitter is in a conference, they'll sometimes say, okay, here, let me show you. I'll send out this tweet, then all of a sudden, within 5 seconds, people start answering just to, so he can demonstrate the power of Twitter for someone who has as many followers as he has. That would not work for me, for example.
No,
but yeah.
I thought that there were people who might be listening to the public timelines enough so that if I ask a question, only not just the five people who are following me, but also the public timeline gets it.
Maybe there's also hashtags that I see people use that people sometimes follow those and might happen to notice it. Isn't there one called Lazy Web or Outside Lazy Web or something like that, or Lazy Tweet?
You have to do it right. Like if it's a product, it's your syntax counts in that case as well. So if you're talking about a product and you do a hashtag and it's not spelled correctly or syntactically wrong.
No, but if you actually I might say there's specific hashtags that seem to be for someone wanting to get an answer right now, where people will follow those and maybe look up answers for you or something. I've never tried it.
But if you send out a Twitter with a brand new hashtag that nobody knows about...
Yeah, that may not mean much. But I forget if I mentioned this before, but David Polk also wrote a book called The Twitter Book that was strictly based on people's responses. He would tweet a question a day, and then people would respond to it, and he would pick the best responses and put them in his book as one page of his book.
And it was pretty
funny. That is out now. It is published now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said it was pretty funny because you were following that.
Yeah, I never read the book, but I've just seen the sample pages from it. And I saw the actual thing going on. Yeah. Someone on Twitter had tweeted a theory that he says that the camera on the Nano, the really tiny, because the Nano doesn't have a camera as good as the iPhone or the rumored iTouch one because it's so small that they couldn't really do it. So it has a video camera only and not really that great quality. Someone's spreading the rumor that the iPhone will have that camera on the front for video conferencing and then the regular camera on the back just for regular photography stuff.
Well, didn't we hear
that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Didn't we hear this with the release of the second generation iPod?
People were hoping it would have a camera. No, but now we actually have an example of Apple using a real video camera that's really tiny.
Right.
And so it kind of makes sense that they could incorporate that.
Sharing the resources that they created. Yeah, all those different cameras. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. I don't know how to tie this in, but you know about the Tesla and how that's people are still following that. Apparently, we kind of knew this would happen, is that once you start refining a new technology and make it cheaper to mass produce, you introduce competition.
Sure.
Apparently, a company called Steenstra Stiletto, all electric vehicle, gives Tesla a run for its money. This car looks awesome. It looks
because
incredible.
They're making a sports car as well, right?
Yes, and it looks very much like the. I mean, I won't say it looks like the Tesla, but it's in the same vein. It's got like a metal body finish, kind of like a DeLorean in a sense, but it's a really pretty car. I'll show you a picture of it. This will be in the show notes.
Is it made out of stainless steel or whatever DeLorean?
I don't know. It might just be the paint job.
Okay.
Looks awesome.
Because the idea of electric cars that we mentioned on here before has been since the 1900s. There were electric cars made back then. But the problem has always been battery life. And now they have batteries that can kind of start to do this, to start to make it practical to have an electric car, although I think maybe not that practical yet.
Well, again, the article that I pulled up with Engadget states that the Stiletto is apparently the first 200 mile per hour plus super sports car that's built in California. So, let's see here. It's formal introductions at the 2010 Pebble Beach. Concourse de Elegance.
But how long will the batteries last at that kind of service, for example?
Probably a whopping 3 hours.
Or 5 minutes or something. I wonder if you really go those speeds.
It's getting better, but like as I said before in previous podcasts, we're looking for a battery revolution here.
Yes.
I mean, we really need to see that. Something like, whether it's fusion, what do you call it?
Cold fusion. Cold
fuel cells real. And laptops, things like that.
Or something brand new we're not even thinking of.
Donkey dung.
Well, remember that old item we had once about the batteries you pee in them to recharge them?
Kind of interesting.
But just water. It turned out it was just... You just have to add water. It has nothing to do with what that's pee or anything. But anyway.
Yeah.
So do you have anything that's non-iPhone? We were talking about iPhone.
Yes, in fact, that was my next story, which is upgrading to Windows 7.
Okay.
Set aside 21 hours just in case.
That's in certain... If you have a really, really, really complicated system and want to upgrade everything about it or something, but probably a slow system or something. In practice, I'm sure it's no longer... wouldn't take any longer than installing Vista over XP or anything else.
There must be some complicated... analyzing, you know, of the system going on under the hood.
Some really weird scenario, but I think that's not typical.
My solution,
I'm sure that's not typical.
As well as anybody should do this. I mean, if you're going to upgrade, don't upgrade. Just copy your files that are most important off to an external drive.
Then you have to reinstall
everything. And then
it's not that easy. That's not that easy. Well, I know. I always upgrade. Usually, it's okay.
Upgrade. Yeah. When it's a major OS, if it's like an update, like Windows ME or something like that, I'll upgrade. But for new OSs like this, I tend to wipe everything.
This isn't that different from Vista, though. So I'm going from Vista to 7.
It is. The guts are different, right? I mean, there's a lot of modifications done. I just wouldn't trust the upgrade. I mean, 21 hours is 21 hours for a purpose. There's something going on there. Where
but I'm saying it wouldn't really take that long on your system.
No,
but some really weird.
But the fact that it takes long on any system means that there's a lot more going on in the install to upgrade the components, which leads me to kind of feel uncertain.
I'd rather 21 hours is walk away. It would take me 21 hours to reinstall all my stuff and get all the settings the way I had them and stuff. So,
so just back everything up, back all the critical stuff up, and as you need new applications, just install them. Just take all your docs and stick them somewhere.
I'm just kind of used to having all kinds of stuff on the machine. I don't want to have to think about every single program I have and stuff. No, the docs are no problem. I have a separate drive, virtual drive for all that stuff. That's not a problem.
I asked you to bring up something related to this, which is web-based services that that sit in the background and copy off the most important folders or directories onto the cloud.
And I've always used, what's the name of the one? Oh, Jungle Disk. I've always used Jungle Disk for that.
S3, that's Amazon servers, right?
And then Wes has seen a deal that's much cheaper than that.
Yes.
If you can, if you have those timings right, you can actually get in on this deal.
Yeah. Which is $5 a month. Mm-hmm. And the site is, what is it called?
Carbonite.com.
Yeah. Something that...
And we sound like Leo Laporte advertising because he's always advertised that.
Well, I think they paid him some kind of money to talk about it. But it sounds like it's a great deal.
Yeah.
Unlimited bandwidth, basically. $5 a month. Just shove all whatever.
That would be amazing because the Jungle Disk... I'm paying Jungle Disk maybe up to 15 a month now for 50 or 60 or 70 gigabytes or something.
Mm-hmm.
So unlimited is even better for 5, but the point of any of these, no matter what you pay for it, is that it gets everything out of your house.
Right,
so in case there's a burglary, in case there's a fire or something, it's better than backup hard drives or whatever else you might want to do in your house.
I used to laugh when you would... When you would take your backups and put them in the trunk of your car, I was always like thought that was really funny until I lost. I lost two drives. One killed the other. Kid was pulling out the power supply to a computer in the classroom
while it was powered up.
While it was powered up, and then plugged it right back in, and it was like zap, zap.
Well, at least it has to be something external. You certainly don't want anything in the same machine. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, so that's why
I basically took two brand new Western Digital Caviar drives.
Yeah,
just knocked them out. And so I was like, "Oh, if I had been backing up on a regular basis,
right? Even in the same room, it would have prevented that."
Mm-hmm.
But my point is to get around burglary or something.
Okay.
If like when I used to park my car in the street, you're thinking that I used to park in the street, not having a garage,
right?
I would put backup tapes because tape was the media at the time.
Was it DAT? Yeah.
Oh, DAT tape. I had certainly used DAT tape for years, So I would put those in the trunk of my car. I still find them sometimes. I look around the trunk of my car. I still find these little tapes sitting there.
with valuable data, by the way.
Probably from 10 years ago. Anyway, nowadays I back up onto external hard drives that I really should stick them in my car. I should do something. Right. I'm a little bit careless of what I do with them physically. You know, there's also services like Carbonite and Jungle Disk where you back it up on a friend's computer. You know, you and a friend who both have spare room on your computers, you send it over the internet to their computer rather than the Carbonite or Jungle Disk.
That's interesting.
Because it gets it out of the house, it's an offsite backup, it's kind of okay. Chances are both of you aren't going to have fires at the same time or whatever.
But that just sort of like opens up the ability for somebody to hack into it if they want to see.
Oh, they're encrypted. Yeah, they encrypt them.
That'd be interesting. I'd like to see that.
I'll have to find links. I've seen URLs for... It's just there's free software that does that stuff. Maybe you could use Bing like Visual Search to find it.
Sounds like torrents.
I just segued. I just segued, Wes.
I'm not done.
Just segued.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So.
All right.
No torrents. Good. Yeah. If you,
I mean, it's kind of like using PDP software to.
Yeah.
To
do it basically is PDP software, but it's just oriented towards backups, so it watches for files to change and sends those to the other side. Yeah. Anyway, but Bing has a lab thing now called Bing Visual Search.
Right.
That has a bunch of categories.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it has a bunch of categories. And you go to one of those categories, it shows you a bunch of pictures to start with.
Okay.
Like, you go to the categories called Presidents of the United States. This is for people who are more visual than they are word-oriented, or you're searching something that actually has to do with graphics.
Right.
So you go there, and it shows you a bunch of pictures in that category, and you choose the picture that's closest to what you think you're searching for.
Okay.
And that shows you a bunch more pictures, and finally gets down to a regular text search page or something. So they have one for popular iPhone apps. This Bing of Microsoft has, of all their very rare visual search categories, has one called popular iPhone apps. And what's weird about it is that the search just shows pictures of the icon for that app.
What does Monkey Boy think of this?
I don't know. I haven't heard him talk about it.
Because Monkey Boy got mad at one of his employees.
Yeah, for using an iPhone. Yeah.
And mocked stomping on it and stuff like that. Put it on the stage.
Well, what he did to...
he didn't really stomp on it, though.
Yeah. To Guy Kawasaki, who's also used to work for Apple.
He's now
Apple
he's
independent
fellow.
And stuff.
Yes.
He's independent now and stuff.
Right.
And an author. He had...
I met him, by the way.
Did he?
Yep.
He had an interview with Ballmer, and he brought his MacBook. And Ballmer grabbed the MacBook out of his hands and slid it across the floor fairly carefully so as not to break it, but throws it away from him, and Kawasaki just kind of sitting there staring at him, doesn't know what to say.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That makes Microsoft look like horrible.
Yeah. No. And how dare you bring a non-Microsoft product? Like if you're a worker in the General Motors factory, I always heard that you wouldn't dare bring a Toyota and park it in the factory parking lot.
You should be the opposite. Like, you should embrace it and show how much better your product is by inviting things over. Like, oh, you have a Mac.
What if they're not better, though?
Oh.
You know, or whatever.
Well, then you make it better.
Yeah, okay.
Then you use the new devices that your competitors are creating to learn from, and then you make something better than what your competitor creates.
Well, but Microsoft's doing that right now. They have the Zune. Isn't the Zune better than the iPhone? Or
It might be, but it might be better than the iPod Touch, but they need to have applications. They need to create the hype that Apple created. They'd better do what Apple did and better.
Right.
In order to create something that people are going to want to use, which they could, by the way. I mean, eventually, if Apple doesn't keep adding new technologies like a camera to their iPods, that'll open the door for somebody like Microsoft to say, hey, you didn't get a camera? We're supplying a camera.
Yes.
And not only that, but we're adding this for free.
Right. But is theirs awesome?
It's not nice.
Did you watch the video of that? Because
no.
I'm going to post a link to a video. You know how the rumor is that Steve Jobs has a reality distortion field around him? Have you ever heard that?
No.
That people watching... So this is a very common phrase. That people watching... Actually, go to Wikipedia, look up reality distortion field, and it'll point to Steve Jobs, that he's what this is all about. That when he's speaking or just talking to you in person, you end up believing him. People come away totally believing everything he said. And then as soon as you're out of his presence, then reality starts seeping back in, and you realize that a lot of things he says may not have made sense, and maybe not that good.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a video that, to me, explains how that's created.
Okay.
Because someone took the keynote speeches to the last Apple event, you know, Jobs and several other ones, and excerpted only the parts where they say, fabulous, what does he say again? Some buzzwords like you were saying. I forget now. But he extracts only those words. And it's just amazing how often Jobs and all the other ones kept saying these words over and over again about how cool this is. Oh, I never used the word cool.
We think this is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Right.
We think,
but just amazing how often they do it. And I think that's the key to the reality distortion field, is you keep repeating those buzzwords over and over and over again, and people start believing you. And it's obviously thought out, because they say they've got like three or four different Apple executives all saying exactly the same phrases over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, you hear Schiller say the same thing that Steve says.
Yes. But about different products.
Go good together. Go well together.
Yeah.
The genius and the genius mixes and all these things creates, take your songs and make them.
No, that's not it. No, it's not even that.
No?
They've got certain words, well, like, is it fabulous? More synonyms of fabulous, that kind of stuff.
Fabulous.
But it's not that word, but more things like that.
It's not that, yeah.
That they just say over and over and over again. It has nothing to do with what the product is. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't relate to the product at all. They just throw those buzzwords all the time. But just watch this video. We'll see what I mean.
Cool.
So that's why Steve says some of that stuff like that. So anyway, but this Bing visual search, getting back to that, mm-hmm. for applications is kind of weird to me, because when you search applications, you want to search applications on what they can do for you. So you'd think maybe you'd want a picture of driving the car, and you search for apps that have to do with a car or something.
Okay.
But instead, it just has icons of the popular apps. And the icons are nice looking and everything, but they don't really say what the app does particularly.
So who generates just these things?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Are they just taking like Google Images or?
Oh yeah, no, it's yeah the.
I mean,
oh,
like for
the
images,
for the other things, yes.
Bing.
Yeah, for okay. the, for, but no, but you, it's not to find an image. Like Google Images is the point
right,
is to find
that,
an image.
But you're doing it visually.
The Microsoft thing is you choose images to find a concept and then.
But what process sits in the background creating images from data?
Probably by hand. I bet they just do it by hand.
Oh, okay.
In those categories.
It's like old, Yahoo in the old days.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Just indexing by hand.
I never turned my iPhone
that
off.
That sucks.
I never turned my mm-hmm. iPhone off.
So this show could be completely ruined.
It's possible.
Noise.
Yes. So I had my phone sitting next to the microphone. Okay. Hold on, let me turn it off right now.
That's all right. We're almost done.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully the whole
show. You
have
to go through your BlackBerry thing. Can't do this stage of the show.
Well, yeah, that's the most important part. Yeah, I'm really into nowadays warning people.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about buying a BlackBerry, or you're thinking about buying an Android device,
yes.
Windows Mobile, or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
there are very serious things you should consider about why you might want an iPhone instead.
Oh wow. Really?
Yeah.
You sound serious, Mark.
I am very serious.
Okay. You have a stern look on your face, as if you're actually going to save me from some fate.
Yes.
Really?
You already made the mistake. You already bought it.
Well, yeah, but who says? See, the beautiful thing about what I bought is that it's a month to month. I can move on to another service without having to be held down by a stupid AT&T contract.
The contracts are not stupid. They're very well written. They're brilliant. The best lawyers in the world have written those contracts. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that we're all we're all sham-wowed by cell phone provider contracts. Is that what we're...
I can't find my item.
Cameraman, come on over here. Let me show you something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so back to what we're talking about. I'm going to give reasons now, like maybe 8 or 10 or 20 or 30, because I can go on all day.
I chose no
reasons
apps for this section of the show, because you're dominating the App Store review.
But these aren't apps that I personally use necessarily.
No.
They're apps that are very important to keep in mind when you're deciding whether to get a BlackBerry on an Android phone. Our pocket PC.
I can't afford $2 for that app. Should be the name of this section.
Yeah,
I can't afford that. Why would I want to spend $2 for something?
It wouldn't matter
like
how much you spend. You wouldn't be able to do it because you have a BlackBerry.
But even if I didn't,
okay. Well, let me just give you an example. We have, first of all, Waiter Raider.
Raider.
RATER.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that there's lots of tip apps, right?
I know about
that. But tip apps, you always move something, type in or move a slider or something to what percentage you want to give for the tip,
mm-hmm.
and it calculates stuff for you from there.
Okay.
But what if you need help deciding on the percentage of the tip?
Okay.
Waiter Raider,
yeah.
every time the waiter comes around, mm-hmm. you punch buttons to raise or lower their tip by a fraction for how good they are.
Nice.
And then
negative comments, just like right there. Look.
Yeah. And then the genius of it is that it always has a meter showing the percentage in big letters.
Okay.
And you leave that on the table, so every time the waiter comes around, they see the percentage you're up to right now to make them work harder.
Nice. I like that. That's like a punch clock, clock.
Yeah.
That's that's cool.
And then,
yeah.
this is more for women, really. There's an iPhone app as an important security thing for women called I Got a Man, where if the woman doesn't want to admit that she lives alone, because that might be a security problem for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So So when you answer the door, you were, so if she has to answer the phone or answer the door or anything, or even driving the car or whatever, she brings up this application, chooses which man she wants to pretend she lives with,
okay.
And then that man will start yelling, "Who's at the door?" or "Who's on the phone?" or
out
something
of the,
like that.
Out of the speaker, yeah, of the
to make. To make people think that she's got a man.
Okay. I mean,
you know.
So what would be better is to actually have the iPhone, I don't think it can do this,
right.
Intercept or at least open up the phone line, mm-hmm. to play digital samples to both of them.
Yeah.
To both the caller and the receiver.
Yeah, okay.
That would be awesome.
Oh, that's right. No, for that one, you have the man in the background, and if you don't like the tone of the caller, you play the man in the background, and they say, "Oh, okay," and then I say, "I have to go, my man's here."
So it is playing out of the speaker, then, of the iPhone?
Yeah.
So okay. I see.
We also have a dog. It has a dog, too, so you can play dog noises or something, yeah.
That's just static. You're losing the signal.
Anyway.
All right.
Just want to warn people, BlackBerry's can't do that. Android can't do that.
I know that BlackBerry's can't
only
do that.
iPhone can.
The BlackBerry's can do some stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
But try to find that app in the BlackBerry app store.
It's, chances are I can download it from a website.
Yeah, maybe.
There might be something out there. If I spend a little bit of time, I might be able to find like a sample playback device.
How about virtual high five? There's a picture of a palm on the iPhone,
uh-huh.
and you slap the palm when you want to do high five with somebody.
What happens when you slap the palm?
It makes slapping noises.
Oh.
And it makes an animation that says, "All right."
Dynamite!
See, again, you're just jealous. See, Wes has a BlackBerry. He's jealous of this stuff. So he snide comments. What about Doll Eye? Can your BlackBerry run Doll Eye?
Would I want to run Doll Eye?
It's a close-up of a picture of a doll's eye that blinks every once in a while and looks ominous.
It looks really scary, actually, from like a murder
show. You know, and your BlackBerry can't do that.
Okay.
How about virtual sushi in a virtual bento box, where you start with a bento box on the screen, you add what sushis you want and stuff?
So
if you're hungry, you look at the sushis on the bento box, Wes.
I'm just saying, you know, it's
okay,
like you show me
soon,
food, but eating is
coming
complete.
Soon.
All right.
An in-app purchase of more sushi symbols.
So you say, I want the tekamaki and the kappa.
Yeah, they'll add that.
And give me some of the
You'll be able to buy those
add-ons. That's great, but you can't eat it, Mark.
You can eat the phone. Actually, they can have a pressure sensitive so that you start chewing on the phone and it can make some slurping noises or something. They could do that. But,
all right.
Hey, how about Fat Mama's Pussycat Playland? BlackBerry do that?
Yeah, what the hell? What the... Fat Mama's. So, what does it do?
It's a very simple game. You tickle Fat Mama's belly with the ball, but make sure you keep the ball away from her.
So, what happens if you don't? Would she try to grab it from you?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. And if she gets it, she probably beats the shit.
Oh, it's a ball of yarn. No, she'll dethread it and do stuff.
Okay.
Like that.
She wraps it around.
She has disturbing red eyes.
She wraps it around your nads and hangs you from the chandelier.
Yeah. No, I got this one. Right. I think I found this one on Craps. One of my favorite blogs, although generally I search iPhone apps myself, I already know them, is Craps, KRAPPS.com.
Yeah.
That some people think stands for crappy apps, but actually I haven't thought of the knowledgeable resource apps or something. I'm sure that's what it really stands for.
All right.
And
yet you found this on there.
Yeah, so I found this one on there. I didn't discover that one myself.
Knowledgeable resource apps?
Because that's a pussy. You'll not understand. You wouldn't understand. Okay, how about blood? An iPhone app that draws blood in all different situations on the screen. Pouring, dripping down blood.
That goes along
splotches
with the,
of blood.
That goes along with the vampire theme that all these like teeny boppers are into.
Yeah,
right now,
that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's enough. I can go on all day as usual, but that's enough. Yeah,
that's funny. Let's see. I think I've talked about this before, but I will share one application.
Okay.
Let me see. For those of you that have to take the driver's test again, the written exam, there's a tool called Driving Test, and it literally is 15 different DMV tests that you could take.
For one state only or for many
states? I don't know. I think this is California. It should say. Unless there's like, unless it covers all of the different tests. Although I did, I have been studying this thing a little bit, and it is, does match what's in the California driver's test.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are able to pass all 15 exams,
You're probably doing pretty well.
You probably
but I'm just saying, though, that different states, though, have different laws that could be contradictory, so it better be made for your state.
I think if you pass, if you can do with all three, just pick any random three and just keep studying those. I think you have different
Yeah, but it might be contradictory, because, like, California has certain speed limits in certain situations. The other state might be very different speed limits.
Yeah, I don't know the answer
so
to that.
Yeah, that's why you really, I can't imagine that working without being for the right state. Though.
Have a good evening.
I'm trying to look. Anyway, it's called driving test.
Okay.
I will find out, if I don't, you will, about whether or not this is California.
Yeah, because just go to slurpcast.com. We'll post a link to that app. Okay. Anyway, so you have any other one?
Let me see. Besides that, let's see. No, you know what? I really don't have any new apps. I actually started to take apps off of my iPhone or iTouch.
I'm constantly taking them off to make room, but then I put on new ones. I don't go down. The number doesn't go down at all.
No, my number went down. I just got rid of stuff I'm not using because I don't really use it a lot.
I have all kinds of it. I have maybe I'm only using maybe one out of 20 of ones I ever downloaded or paid for.
Do you have a chess application on your iPhone?
No. I know there are some, but no.
Yeah, one of the best is iChess Pro.
Okay. Okay.
It is a paid app. It's not free.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's really it for me.
Yeah. Okay. And I've got one, I doubt I'll ever really use this, but it's just kind of a cool look to it, called Waze, W-A-Z-E.
Okay.
I bet just because they got that website or something, that's probably why they called it that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a shared database for GPS.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of, it is a GPS app, and you can tell it where you want to go, and it'll draw you a route to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that the routes are pretty inefficient and pretty poor quality
okay.
at the moment. But what it's waiting for is that as people drive routes, if you leave that app open and you drive on routes it hasn't seen before or even if it has, it watches your speed, it watches the way you turn around on that route and adds to its database.
I'm okay,
so
actually.
If it sees a bunch of people...
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. So if it sees...
We're ready for the bill.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So if it sees a lot of people going from the same place to the same place, taking a particular route, it'll remember that. When people want to go on that route again, it'll recommend that route, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then it has kind of a little video game aspect to it, as if you're the first one to drive on a particular road, it makes a bunch of little dots, and the icon representing your car kind of turns into a Pac-Man-like thing in a way, and it kind of eats up those dots, and you get points.
That's cute.
For doing that. So
that's cute.
That's not clear what the points are good for.
Now, do we know if the database that it's using is the OpenStreetMaps?
I forget. So someone said it was something public domain.
Okay, because that is,
but I forgot
that is one of the Wikipedia-like Google Maps that are out there.
Okay. Is there a website people can go to see how that works?
Absolutely. In fact, I mentioned that before. Okay. It's www.openstreetmaps.org, I think is what it is.
Okay.
So,
I may use that, but it uses something open. And I say apparently its routing capabilities are very limited until enough people have driven on a particular route. And my guess is that'll never happen because...
Okay.
It's going to really use this that much. It doesn't talk. And yes, it's free, but it's not really that competitive with the other iPhone GPS apps nowadays.
Hmm.
But, you know, I think it's popular. It'll be good.
Want to rate the restaurant?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. Okay. The bill is here.
Right. Is it expensive?
$38.13.
We're not sure if it's really charcoal roast. They do not charcoal here. They cook everything in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sure exactly how they do the cooking. And if we can't tell the difference, why do we care?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we know some barbecue, Korean barbecues, where you can sit at your table with fire at your table. And you know it's real and stuff.
Hmm.
Anyway, but it's good.
Well, we don't know what Albert Hain would have said.
He'd want to see the fire. He'd want to walk in the kitchen and see that it was really
charcoal
and stuff. Yeah. Or see it at the table. He loved that one who was at the table. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you could see the actual coals.
Yes.
Yeah. He knew he was not being bullshitted.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
So,
Okay.
I guess that's the end of our show. Go to slurpcast.com.
Participate in the comments. We have the page up now, the page on Facebook. So if you're in Facebook, I guess look for Slurpcast.
But the trouble is we can't get a simple URL to work. So right now, if you want to find the page on Facebook, you have to type in a long kind of URL to get there.
You can probably search and find us. I'm not sure how that works yet, but there are usernames that are supposed to be turned on or made available for pages. We know that they exist for user profiles, but setting a username, a specific unique, you know, domain name for the page is not available yet.
But you don't need to really do that unless you're really into Facebook a lot, because you just go to slurpcast.com on the regular internet. It has the same material.
You know? One of the things I think that it's going to allow you to do is hand out the URL to the public. And then you don't need to log in to actually get to that page. You can actually allow anonymous people to come and post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. But for us personally, for this particular project, how does having that page on Facebook help people when they can just go to slurpcast.com anyway? Unless they're already on Facebook a lot to care about Facebook.
Well, because everybody's on Facebook, and they all can they can all subscribe and basically become fans of the page, Slurpcast.
Okay.
It's not real obvious for people who go to our site, I think, to how you add discussions or how you can contribute. So
right.
My hope is that so many people are involved in Facebook that they'll be much more easy for them to actually start commenting on.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Only two people listen to the show anyway.
Right.
Okay. Right. You actually found out that more than two people are listening.
Yeah, I haven't really checked the listening logs lately. I checked the Slurpcast.com logs using Google Analytics, and it's showing very low numbers, actually. But I found out very recently that it's not that trustworthy, or it's hiding robots or something. Because if you have some other type of counter on a page and you use Google Analytics, it's fairly common for Google Analytics to show a much, much, much lower number. And we're trying to track that down. What that's all about.
Okay.
We might actually have a lot of listeners. We don't know.
Huh. Who knows? All right. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks.